भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जाय मुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया। भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। हरे कृष्णा। सो टुडे दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 एंटाइटल्ड द विड्रॉल ऑफ कॉस्मिक क्रिएशंस चैप्टर 22 बलि महाराज सरेंडर्स हिज लाइफ वर्स नंबर 17। यया हि विद्वानपि मुह्यते यतः तत् को विचस्ते गतिं आत्मना यथा तस्मै नमः ते जगत ईश्वराय वै नारायणाय अखिल लोक साक्षिने। यया हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यतः यया हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यतः तत्को विचस्ते गतिमात्मनो यथा तत्को विचस्ते गतिमात्मनो यथा तस्मै नमस्ते जगतीश्वराय तस्मै नमस्ते जगतीश्वराय नारायणाय अखिललोकसाक्षिने नारायणाय अखिललोकसाक्षिने। यया हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यतः तत्को विचस्ते गतिमात्मनो यथा तस्मै नमस्ते जगतीश्वराय नारायणाखिललोकसाक्षिने। यया हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यतः तत्को विचस्ते गतिमात्मनो यथा तस्मै नमस्ते जगतीश्वराय नारायणाय अखिललोकसाक्षिने। प्लीज रिसाइट। यया हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यतः तत्को विचस्ते गतिमात्मनो यथा तस्मै नमस्ते जगतीश्वराय नारायणाय अखिललोकसाक्षिने। यया हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यतः तत्को विचस्ते गतिमात्मनो यथा तस्मै नमस्ते जगतीश्वराय वै नारायणाय अखिललोकसाक्षिणे यया हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यतः तत्को विचस्ते गतिमात्मनो यथा तस्मै नमस्ते जगतीश्वराय नारायणाय अखिललोकसाक्षिणे यया हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यतः तत्को विचस्ते गतिमात्मनो यथा तस्मै नमस्ते जगतीश्वराय वै नारायणाय अखिललोकसाक्षिणे यथा हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यतः तत्को विचस्ते गतिमात्मनो यथा तस्मै नमस्ते जगतीश्वराय वै नारायणाय अखिललोकसाक्षिणे। माताजी, इसमें से कोई? यया हि विद्वान् अपि मुह्यते यतः तत्को विचस्ते गतिमात्मनो यथा तस्मै नमस्ते जगतीश्वराय वै नारायणाय अखिललोकसाक्षिणे। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग, यया बाय विच मटीरियल ऑपुलेंस ही इंडीड विद्वान अपि, इवन ए पर्सन फॉर्चुनेटली एडवांस इन एजुकेशन, मुह्यते बिकम्स बिविल्डर्ड, यथा सेल्फ कंट्रोल्ड, तत दैट का हु विचस्ते कैन सर्च फॉर गतिम द प्रोग्रेस आत्मनः ऑफ द सेल्फ यथा प्रॉपरली तस्मै अनटू हिम नमः आई ऑफर माय रेस्पेक्टफुल ओबेसेंसेस ते अंटु यू जगदीश्वराय अंटु द लॉर्ड ऑफ द यूनिवर्स वाई इंडीड नारायणाय अंटु हिज लॉर्डशिप्स नारायण अखिल लोक साक्षिने हु आर द विटनेस ऑफ ऑल क्रिएशन। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki translation. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the Lord of the Universe, can see everything by His will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. So, you all repeat the translation in response. Material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget to search for the goal of self-realization. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, the Lord of the Universe, can see everything by His will. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Purport. The words, ko vichaste gatimatmano yatha, indicate that when one is puffed up by the false prestige of possessing material opulence, he certainly neglects the goal of self-realization. This is the position of modern world. Because of so-called scientific improvements in the material appearance, people have entirely given up the path of self-realization. Practically, no one is interested in God. One's relationship with God or how one should act. Modern men have altogether forgotten such questions because they are mad for material possessions. If this kind of civilization continues, the time will soon come when Supreme Personality of Godhead will take away all the material opulences, then people will come to their senses. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So before I speak something worthwhile on Srimad Bhagavatam, I would seek blessings of all the assembled devotees, especially the senior devotees, so that whatever I have learnt from all the devotees, I can share something about Srimad Bhagavatam. This particular verse is a very instructive verse for all those who are living in this modern way of living. In the ancient times, people used to think that if wealth is lost, nothing is lost. And if health is lost, something is lost. And they used to consider if character is lost, everything is lost. But nowadays, the modern civilization, the people's consciousness is completely opposite. They feel that if character is lost, nothing is lost. From the very beginning of the education system, people are taught like this. If character is lost, nothing is lost. And if health is lost, something is lost. And the ultimate one is, if wealth is lost, everything is lost. So in today's society, a person is considered a good person if he has good wealth. A person is considered a good doctor or good physician if he has good wealth plus a degree. A person is considered a good politician if he has good wealth plus good speech. And a person considers, even in the modern society, a good sadhu if he has good money. So everything good comes from money for the modern society. But here, in this particular verse, we see that Prahlad Maharaj is giving importance to self-realization over material opulences. He says material opulence is so bewildering that it makes even a learned, self-controlled man forget about searching for self-realization. Here, in this particular context, Bali Maharaj, when he was petitioned by the Supreme Lord, that earlier you had promised me to give three track of land. And now that I have taken two steps and covered everything, what is left with you? What will people call you? A person who promised something and did not give? So in those times, even in the ancient Vedic civilization, if anyone promises that I will give you something, and if he turns back from promise, he will definitely go to hell. He used to fear that I have broken my promise, so I will go to hell. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that if somebody even does a little bit mistake in his promise of giving charity, he is born into a hellish condition. We see the example of King Mruga, who becomes a lizard by mistake. He is not able to fulfill a promise of giving charity of one cow to the Brahmana. Now, Bali Maharaj, when he gave this promise that I will give you three steps of land, Bali Maharaj had only this idea that this boy is a Brahmana. In the beginning, he did not knew that he is Supreme Lord until the time Shukracharya came and revealed that Divya Gyan, that this personality is Supreme Lord. So if somebody does small mistake in giving charity to Brahmana, his hellish condition is guaranteed. Then what to speak of a person who has promised to the Supreme Lord that I will give you something and he steps back. So Bali Maharaj did not wanted that DCME. And rather he chose that I will completely surrender to the Lord and then complete my promise. So this was the test in Bali Maharaj's life, that do you want to surrender to Lord completely or you want to maintain your respectability or your own material possessions? Every sadhaka goes through this phase of life, especially those who are completely renunciates. Do you want to still hold on to our material possessions or you want to surrender fully to the Lord? So the difference is, if we step back from our surrender to the Lord, we will get defaming. Whereas if we surrender fully to the Lord will not take away everything. You will see that anything which we surrender to the Lord, Lord doesn't snatch us it from the devotee. In fact, he gives it back. But only thing is that consciousness of surrender in the particular devotee should be there, and then he becomes automatically glorious. Shri Shri Radharas Bihari Bhagwan ki, Shri Shri Gaurnitai Bhagwan ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. So Bali Maharaj is here thinking that now I should somehow or other surrender fully to the Lord. So we see that Lord took away everything from Bali Maharaj, and very soon he is going to give it back, all these opulences to Bali Maharaj, and he will make him as a Indra again. But because Bali Maharaj got this infatuation of material opulences, he couldn't take up the pure devotional service before this surrender. Because Prahlad Maharaj was already his grandfather, he had an idea of one should be surrendering everything to the Lord. But what happens with material opulence is that we get a false sense of controllership. We see that people are respecting me because I have material opulence. And they don't want to forego that. If I am not a rich person, society will not respect me. If I am not a rich person, I cannot control so many people. So this kind of ideas gets driven in the mind of a person who is materially opulent. And then he forgets self-realization. So Kunti Maharani, in her prayers to the Supreme Lord, when Krishna was leaving to Dwarka from Mathura, She says, Janma Aishwarya Shrita Sribhi Yedamana Madhapuman Naivarati Abhidhatum Vai Swam Akinchana Gocharam. So she says, My Lord, your lordships can easily be approached by only those persons who are materially exhausted, because one who is in the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education and bodily beauty, cannot address you with sincere feeling. So this material opulence always gives us reasons not to surrender. They tell that better you stick to your material opulences than to surrender to Lord. Because they think that if you surrender to Lord, Lord will take away everything. And people are very expert in quoting bad example of Vamandev taking away everything from Bali. They keep on telling this, Vamandev took away everything from Bali. But they don't see the other part, that Lord Vishnu, who is Narayana, will give back again all this to Bali Maharaj. So we see in the case of Dhruva Maharaj also, anyone who has material desires, Lord will anyways fulfill it. If you surrender to the Lord and ask from Lord, Lord will anyways fulfill it. But the problem is, in that process, if that devotee becomes a pure devotee, he will regret that why I had a material desire. Because even after you achieve it, then you will feel that, I could have better taken shelter of Lord completely rather than asking a material benediction. So material problem initially gives us hankering, because of which there is a problem. When you come to the Supreme Lord and ask, still that hankering is there. When Lord fulfills the material benediction, even then there is a lamentation that why I had a material desire. So the best course of action is to not have material desires altogether. But then, yes, of course, you know it is very difficult to have completely pure desires. But then still, even those very material desires become impediment to again completely surrender to Lord or go back to Vaikuntha. If Bali Maharaj did not have this desire of becoming an Indra, of ruling all this planetary system, Lord himself is standing in front of him, he could have easily asked, take me back to Vaikuntha. And Lord has done that to many of the devotees who have surrendered completely. Lord has given them liberation or sometimes even Vaikuntha. But just because that Bali was in the chase of 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas and, you know, trying to get the hold of position of Indra, from one angle of view, Bali Maharaj is still in material world. He still has to take up the position of Indra and spend 1200 years of a demigod's time and many more years. I don't know how many years. It says 36,000 years is one day. 36,000 years of earth is one time span of demigods above. So such a huge time span he has to continue in this material world. So that's why these material opulences here, Prahlad Maharaj, who himself has undergone being a ruler of a very great kingdom, he says that material opulence is so bewildering. An illustrative story of this comes to my mind of a devotee of Lord who became a king by chance. And after becoming king, he forgot the devotional practices. This was 900 AD and a very illustrious, very bright child was born in Srirangam. His name was Yamunacharya. Yamunacharya's parents, they were also great devotees of Lord Vishnu, and they happened to tour Vrindavan and Govardhan begging for a child. And that's how when the child was born, they named it after river Yamuna, and they named him as Yamunacharya. Now Yamunacharya, though born in Sri Rangam, which is in Tamil Nadu, his school was in Madurai, which is around 3-4 hours from Sri Rangam. And he was a very good student under a teacher called Bhashyacharya. He used to learn Vedas, and whatever he used to learn from teacher, he used to remember and recite and teach all his friends also. And Bhashyacharya was very happy with this student called Yamunacharya. Now in those times, the learned people used to go on debates. And anyone who loses in debates, he has to pay taxes to the one whom he has lost to. So just like in this civilization, current modern civilization, anyone who makes money, he has to pay taxes. But in those times it was little different. Anyone who has not earned the education, they have to pay taxes. Like that. So there used to be a proud scholar. His name was Vidvajjan Kolahal. He had a Tamil name as well. His Tamil name was Akkiyalvan. People those times used to have two names. One name based on your activities and one name which was given to you by birth, like that. So his birth name was Akkiyalvan, but then because he started defeating scholars one after another, his name became Vidvajjan Kolahal, meaning anyone who Kolahal means a disturbance. Anyone who disturbs the assembly of learned people. He used to go into a learned assembly, give some logic, and used to tell that prove this in the counter way. And anyone who fails to do this, he used to say you are defeated. You need to sign that I will pay you taxes. And this was even current during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time and even Goswami's time. We see some pastimes where even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeating scholars, Jeev Goswami also defeating scholars, we see that. So this Bhashyacharya, under whom Yamunacharya was a student, was also defeated at one point by this Akkiyalvan, who was then known as Vidvajjan Kolahal. So every year he used to send his followers and tell them give taxes. And this particular time, Bhashyacharya and all of his friends had gone out for a spiritual tour. And they all gave the custody of this ashram to Bhashyacharya and told them just take care. So he was kind of alone who was in the ashram. And that time, these followers of Vidvajjan Kolahal, they came and they gave a very proud propositions that your spiritual master of this ashram, does he want to live alive? He has not been paying taxes for more than 2 years now. And if he continues like that, we will have to take strict action and he will be sent under the bars, under the rule of the king. So the king, who was a Pandya ruler, was also kind of controlled by this proud scholar. So then Bhashyacharya's disciple, Yamunacharya, he challenged that if you are so proud, then definitely your guru is a fool. Because every genuine spiritual master teaches his disciples the principles of humility, and you know the dealings of the people. If somebody is a proud and he says that I have a spiritual master, we should understand that his spiritual master is a also similar type of person, fool. So when the disciple of Vidvajan Kolal heard that you are calling my spiritual master a fool, but you don't know he is the best of the scholars existing in the planet. And my spiritual master has defeated your spiritual master in a debate of logic. And you are supposed to be paying taxes to us. So Yamunacharya immediately said, what to speak of my spiritual master? Your spiritual master cannot even defeat me in the logic. And you are so proud about this. I never heard this person, Vidvajan Kolahal. I can easily challenge him for a debate and defeat him. So when Vidvajan Kolahal's disciple heard this, he was taken aback. He immediately rushed back to his guru. And then he also informed to the king that such and such person has challenged the scholarly knowledge of our guru. So this Pandya king, he thought, because he was also a kind of little bit unhappy with this person, but just because he was very scholar and nobody was able to defeat him, he was also kind of just allowing things to happen. So the Pandya king, he said that let me arrange for this debate. Even if the child is lost, if the child loses, everyone will think after all he is a child. And then if child defeats this scholar, then everyone will glorify the child. He said, a small boy defeated such a great scholar. So this was also one of the strategies of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada used to sometimes say that if you want to catch rhinos. So if you read the book by Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Chasing the Rhinos with Swami. So do big things. Prabhupada used to tell like that. If you are capable, if you can do it, do big things. So this king, he sent a palanquin just as any other regular debater would come onto the stage. He invited Yamunacharya and he invited Vidvajan Kolahal and he arranged for a big arena, and then there was this debate to take place between both of them. So when this news that Yamunacharya has challenged Vidvajan Kolahal reached to Bhashyacharya, he came running. And he thought that, if he goes to the king's palace, we don't know what will happen. This Vidvajan Kolahal is already so proud, he may not even, he may even devise plans to kill this child. But by the time Bhashyachar comes back, he sees that already the king's, king had sent a procession to bring him, has already come. So Yamunacharya just takes the blessings of Bhashyacharya and he says, do not worry, by your blessings I will be victorious. So Yamunacharya comes onto the stage, and while getting onto the stage, just by his presence, he makes the queen confident of his victory. So king was little doubtful yet, although king internally wanted that Yamunacharya should win. The queen was very confident, and the queen immediately shouted out a name for Yamunacharya, and she called Alabandaru, which means that always victorious, or always one who defeats his enemies. So when the queen told Alabandaru, king said that how are you confident that this guy will win? So the queen says, no, this guy will win. If you want, I can put a challenge to you. If this boy loses, I will become maid servant of my maid servant. So queen immediately says that. So then king says, okay, I take your challenge. If this guy wins, I will give half of my kingdom to Albandaru. So then the debate is set up. One side is sitting Vidvaj and Kolahal, and on the other side this Yamunacharya is sitting. So Yamunacharya says, Vidvaj and Kolahal, please start asking me questions on logic. Especially those who are scholars and those who are into philosophy, they are very interested in logical discussions. More than devotion, they have logic. So we see Mayavadi sannyasis, even during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu times, they used to be students of logic. And they used to study logic for long time than devotion. Even Shankaracharya, in his final teachings, he says that all those rules of logic will not help you at the end of your life. What will help you is devotion to Govinda. But then this guy, Vidvaj and Kolahal, is already a scholar of logic. So he started asking questions to Yamunacharya. He started asking easy questions. Yamunacharya quickly answering and not even giving enough time for him to ask, think about the second question. He's telling, ask next question. So at one point of time, he kind of got exhausted with questions. So Yamunacharya started telling, you think that my knowledge is as small as my body? Just because I am small boy, you think that my knowledge is also small? If you think this as logic, then a buffalo who goes into the garden or the forest, he is bigger than you. So according to your logic, buffalo is more intelligent than you. So he was inciting Vidvajan's every angle. And he was touching the sensitive areas where the scholars are proud generally. So then Vidvaj and Kolahal got frustrated and he said, enough is enough. You ask questions, I will give a counter. So Yamunacharya says, is that? And he says, I will give you only three propositions. If you can counter these propositions, I will accept my defeat. But if you cannot counter these propositions, then you are defeated. So Vidvajan says, done. And Yamunacharya says, the first proposition is that your mother is a barren woman, Bansh, So now to counter this, Vidvaj and Kolahal has to prove, he said your mother is not barren. So Vidvaj and Kolahal had to prove that my mother is barren. But then if you have to prove that my mother is barren, you don't exist, right? Barren women don't give birth to any children. So then Vidvaj and Kolahal became angry. His eyes started slowly becoming red. After giving some time to him, he said that looks like you are accepting your defeat in this particular question. But just because I said three propositions, I'll ask you the other two. And he said that the second proposition is our king is a completely pious king. So Vidvaj and Kolahal's job is to counter it and prove that king is not pious. So how can somebody prove somebody is impious right in front of him? The king and queen were sitting on their throne and here you are trying to prove that king is impious. It is against the rules. And if he does so, then his job is gone. He will be thrown out. And then again Vidvaj and Kolahal is without any answer. So the third proposition he goes ahead. He says that the queen of our king is a chaste lady. So then Vidvaj and Kolahal is supposed to prove the counter, that is the queen is unchaste. So when he hears this third proposition, Vidvaj and Kolahal gets up He says you are making foolish propositions. What propositions you are giving me, you have to also prove it. Only then I will accept my defeat. So this Yamunacharya was also a very expert scholar. So he quotes from Manusmriti various terms of course and conduct about king, about queen, and about social statuses. So he quotes from Manusmriti. He says that any woman has one child is also considered barren. And Vidvajan Kolahal was the only son of her mother. And second proposition he says that although king in his personal behavior is completely pious, he has not performed any sinful activity. But then Manusmriti says that any sinful activity any citizen performs, 1/6 is automatically credited to the king. So he says that this is Kali Yuga, and definitely the population of the kingdom are impious. So automatically that 1/6 of the people sinful activity score ties with the king. So in that way our king is impious. And the third one Yamunacharya says that although our queen is completely chaste and dedicated to the king, but then the king is actually representative of 8 demigods. Surya, Chandra, Varuna, Indra, Yama, and there are other 3 demigods whom the king is representative of. So in that angle of vision, he says that the queen is not chaste. And as soon as he gives explanation for this, the whole assembly starts telling, Alabandar, Alabandar, all victorious. And then this Vidvajan Kolahal had no place to hide his face. And he got defeated. And as the king promised, he gave half of the kingdom to be ruled by Yamunacharya. Now as soon as Yamunacharya became king, he forgot all the devotional practices which he used to do in his ashram previously. You became king, you have so many servants serving you. He got married, he had I don't know how many wives, not mentioned. But then he became kind of forgetful of search for spiritual life as mentioned in this verse. So he was learned, self-controlled, but then Prahlad Maharaj says, material opulence is so bewildering that a man forgets to search for the goal of self-realization. And he spent almost 70-80 years in ruling this kingdom. This Pandya Raj was almost like half of Tamil Nadu at that time. So half of half is like, 1/4 of Tamil Nadu he had with him. So while ruling this, he completely forgot Krishna consciousness. He forgot the Bhagavad Gita shlokas. He forgot the, mantras for offering to the Lord. He was just going on and on. Yamunacharya's grandfather, his name was Nath Muni. This is also again in Tamil Nadu. He was born and brought up in Tamil Nadu. So while leaving, he instructed one of his disciples that my grandson was a very good devotee and he is potential of a very great acharya, but then somehow or other this material opulence has caught him. So you have to make some means by which you will make him into a devotee back. And that's how Nath Muni left his body. And his disciple Ram Mishra, he devised a trick of becoming a fruit vegetable vendor at his king's place. And he used to deliver vegetables for free of cost, and he used to tell the cook of Yamunacharya to make every day a special green leafy vegetable, which will increase the mode of goodness in him. He used to do this every day for free of cost. And one day, in a strategic way, he did not go. And when Yamunacharya saw that this particular vegetable is not there on my table, he asked this cook, "What happened? Every day you cook that for me, today it is missing." So the cook said, "Sir, today that vendor did not come and gave that vegetable." So Yamunacharya asked, "Who is that vendor?" He said, "Somebody comes every day and gives for you." He said, "Does he charge anything?" The cook says, "No, he gives it for free." So the king, Yamunacharya, said, "Bring him, I want to meet him." So next day when he comes, he also prays to Lord Ranganath that, you know, may I get a chance to preach to this king. So as soon as he comes, he says that king is calling you, please go and meet him. So as soon as he meets Yamunacharya, he gives his introduction that I am disciple of your grandfather. And he again uses a strategic way. He says that your grandfather has left a very great treasury, and he told me that I have to give it to you. Because a person who is materially opulent, living in a place like a kingdom, if he tells him that you surrender everything and come and live in Srirangam, he may not do it. So he uses this strategy. A great wealth has been given to me by your grandfather, and I am supposed to give it to you. He says, "Fine, take me there, I am ready to come with you." He calls his ratha, chariots, and he says that let's move. But then Ram Mishra puts a condition that, "Look, this treasure is very secret treasure. It is locked up behind 7 doors, taken care by a special snake. A demon from south every now and then comes and makes sure that this treasury is being kept intact. And to get that treasury, you have to chant a special mantra for that." So Ram Mishra says, "For this, you have to come alone, not with your paraphernalia of ministers." He says, "Well, let's go." So Yamunacharya and Ram Mishra, they come from Madurai till Srirangam, almost. And in the meantime, he gets this opportunity of preaching about Bhagavad Gita to him, slowly. And that's how when he hears the shlokas from Bhagavad Gita, he remembers his past. Like Krishna says, "Svalpam api asya dharmasya prayate mahato bhayat." He remembers this, and then even before he reaches Srirangam, Yamunacharya says, "Now my life is yours. I don't want to go back to kingdom. I want to completely surrender to the Lord." But then Ram Mishra says, "I have promised Nath Muni that I will give you this treasure. So just take this treasure and then you decide what you want to do." Then he slowly brings him to Srirangam, and he reminds him that the treasure which is locked behind the 7 doors is nothing but Ranganath. If you go to Srirangam, you will see many, many gopurams, and exactly like Xerox of Vaikuntha, it has 7 avarnas, covering walls. And he says that a great serpent which is taking care of that is nothing but Ananta Shesh, on whom Lord Ranganath is lying. He says that it is an island surrounded by rivers. And if you go to Srirangam, you see that Kaveri is flowing both the sides of Srirangam. And then when he brings him just in front of Ranganath, he says, "To get this treasure, the special mantra you have to chant is Om Namo Narayanaya," like that. So this is a Sri Vaishnava's mantra. So when he comes there, Srirangam, he completely surrenders to the Lord. He says that, "Now I don't want to go back." So he sends a message to his minister to come and meet him at Srirangam. And he makes his will that half of the kingdom which he got from the Pandya king has to be engaged in the service of Ranganath, and half kingdom he appoints the next king, and then he gets like completely renounced from all his material opulences. And then he goes ahead and authors many books like Shrotratnavali and many important Vaishnava literatures. Some of the verses from Shrotratnavali even Srila Prabhupada used to quote many times about how he gets disgusted when he thinks about enjoying with opposite women, like that. So in this way, the life of Yamunacharya shows, illustrates this point that the material opulences can even bewilder such a great devotee and distract him from the path of self-realization. But only by the mercy of devotees, Lord, as it is said, Narayana Akhila Loka Sakshine, such a person can again be retracted in devotional service, just as Vaman Dev is doing it for Bali Maharaj. So the whole essence of today's verse is that material opulences are dangerous even for devotees. Only those who can handle material opulences, if somebody has material opulences at the same time he is a great devotee, we should think that he has got special benediction from Lord. And we should always remain in the association of devotees, so that we don't, even if somebody has material opulences, devotees keep reminding that the main opulences of devotees is Krishna. So thank you very much for joining this morning for reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'm sorry I took 5 minutes extra than scheduled. If anyone has any questions or comments, they can please do so. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.